But I bring you no turkey this morning. I bring you none other than the Word of God. Amen. And before I move on to that, I want to thank you. Veronica and I do serve you as your associational missionaries, and you partner, or we do, with you and serve some 60 churches in the Lakeway area, partnering together for a greater cause than what any of us could do alone, and that is in associational missions beyond what you're doing here as a local church. And then as far as your other giving as well state and national and international missions through the cooperative program. So I thank God from the bottom of my heart because of your giving, regardless of what it is, how much and everything, we're able to go down into Texas, Louisiana, Florida, now Puerto Rico and Dominica, as far as the giving relief to all of those who suffered from the devastating hurricanes, I should say, one after another, and they took a beating. So just know that our disaster relief director, Don Owen, is doing a great work. We continue to pray for his wisdom and discernment and on the state level as well. But I want to thank you for just joining in on that work. Find your way, if you will, to the book of Luke in around chapter 17, and you may stand when you find it, or you can stand in reverence of reading of the word. Luke chapter 17, I'll be in verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, you may stand if you're able to in honor of the reading of God's word. And this morning, even though I've read over this passage on a number of times, and you may be familiar with it as well as we read it, I've never had the privilege to preach this message until this morning. So it's new and to me, but it's still a lesson that I think of throughout times past and in the future, I hope, as well. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11 and following. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us," or on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your inerrant, inspired word that is eternal, powerful, sharper than any two-edged or double-edged sword. And Father, today we pray in Jesus' name, by the work of your Holy Spirit, penetrate our hearts, Lord, our souls, our spirits, even the joints and the marrow. Father, I pray that you would judge our thoughts and attitudes, convict us of our guilt, cleanse us of our sin, and Lord, grant us a spirit that will sustain us, a right spirit, a free spirit, a spirit, a willing spirit. And Father, might Fairfield be greatly encouraged and built up, the saints here, and Lord, might the backslidden be turned back to you, and Lord, might that soul that's been prayed, that's nearest hell, Lord, be grasped and seized from hell and come to the marvelous saving grace that's found in Christ Jesus. For it's in his blessed name that we pray, and all of God's people say, amen. You may be seated. The one leper, and Jesus is going back to Jerusalem, and he's being followed by his disciples and perhaps a few others. There's usually always a crowd around Jesus, especially at this point in his ministry where he has performed several miracles. And it says, now as it happened, he went to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem in verse 11, Luke 17, and that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now that just simply means that he passed along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. Not necessarily that he went through the middle of Samaria, but he went through the borders of Samaria and Galilee. Now recall, if you will, I'll just kind of try to picture paint you a map here of Israel. Remember, you have the Sea of Galilee at the top, and that bald spot in the back of my head, that's not the Sea of Galilee, that's the Dead Sea now. But anyway, from the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River running down from north to south, down and empties into the Dead Sea. And then Galilee and Nazareth, the region of Galilee is over to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And then you have Samaria, which is actually south of Galilee. So really we're looking at south to southwest of the Sea of Galilee and west of the Jordan toward the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea. That's the region where Jesus is walking through between the two borders, between Samaria and Galilee. And in verse 12, the Word of God says, as he entered a certain village, that is, as he approached a village, and that'll become clear a little bit later here, that as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And so Jesus is traveling down from Galilee through the borders of Galilee and Samaria, and he's entering in or approaching a certain village, and 10 men stand afar off or at a distance. And it says they were lepers here. And that word lepers comes from the word that means scale. And the condition or leprosy, as it's known, is symptoms range from white patches on the skin to running sores. But it gets its name from scale, which is also used to describe the scale on fish and of the sea and so forth. But the skin becomes scaly or scabby, and that's an infectious disease here. So again, it may be white patches, it may just be running open sores. It is considered an infectious disease. Lazarus, if you recall of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, right prior to this in Luke 16 and in verse 20, he probably had that same condition. In 16:20 of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 20, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores. His body had sores all over him. So he had some sort of skin condition, and it probably was a form of this leprosy here. So he had open sores all over him, and he laid at the gate of the rich man and begged day in and day out. And so this disease is horrendous. It leads to gangrene, or it can. It can even cause deformity of the limbs and even paralysis of the body. That's how severe the disease is. And even the ceremonial law, the law of Moses, as found in Leviticus 13 through 14, declares those with this condition are unclean. They're unclean by the word of God, the ceremonial law. Lepers were not only shut out from the synagogues, but they were also cast out from the camp back in the day of Moses in the Old Testament. And they were also cast out from the community in this day, cast out from the villages. So that's why the men are outside the village. They're cast out. They're shut out from the community. And so the person with such an infectious disease must live outside the camp according to the law of Moses, according to the Old Testament in Leviticus 13 and 14, must live outside. He's cast out. He's shut out from the community. And so they have their own place outside the village. And so the priests would have to go out and examine them at periodical times to see if any of them were cleansed or healed, where they could go through the ceremonial cleansing. And so they're cast outside the village or the community, and they have their own separate place in isolation, and they have to wear torn clothes, which is a sign of mourning. Also, their hair is unkempt or it's disheveled. It's all over their head, or they'll shave their head because of the condition. And then they'll cover their face. They must cover their face anytime someone approaches. And the Word of God says they must cover their face from their mustache down, much like this they would have to do, and then cry out in a loud voice, unclean, unclean, unclean. Meaning to those who are approaching them, they have a disease and they're infectious. And those who were approaching them would need to stop because they could not come near such a person nor touch them. And so while these measures seem calloused and inhumane, these actions were necessary. They were necessary. Why? Because that disease would spread through the camp. and defile God's holy presence in the tent of meeting and in the temple and in the community. So they were ostracized, so to speak, or put outside the camp, cast out, shut out from society. No exceptions, no exemptions. Recall, even Moses' sister Miriam, when she grumbled against Moses, her brother, as a leader of Israel, God struck her with leprosy. And the Bible says in Numbers 12 that she was white as snow, leprous, white as snow in Numbers 12, 10 and following. So talk about church discipline. Man, that'll get your attention, won't it? God struck her with leprosy and said she should even put outside the camp for 7 days at least. So it would remind us at this point to do everything without grumbling or complaining, wouldn't it? We certainly wouldn't want to bring such as that. But it happened in that day. And in the Word of God in verse 12 says that these men stood afar off. They were at a distance, and it was according to the law. Again, they were not to approach anyone, but they were to at least identify themselves as being unclean according to the Levitical law. Again, no one could come near them. No one could touch them. And so it was in verse 13, as they saw Jesus and the disciples in the crowd approaching the village, that it says that they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That is, after they had cried out, "Unclean, unclean," they would have said, "Jesus, Master." No doubt Jesus' fame had spread throughout the region at this time in his ministry, for he had already performed some and a number of miracles. Luke records one of them in Luke chapter 4 in verse 37. Luke chapter 4 in verse 37. And in this particular instance, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit or demon in a synagogue in Capernaum. Now, don't tell me the devil doesn't go to church. He does. There's an instance right there, and it's recorded in Mark chapter 1 as well. So this is the occasion here. Jesus has cast out an unclean spirit or demon in the synagogue. And in chapter 4 of Luke in verse 37, after that, here's what the Word of God says. And the report about him, that is fame, the news about him, who? Jesus went out into every place in the surrounding region. So see, the word was traveling around that Jesus heals and that he's the Messiah. He's a great teacher and so forth. So the report's going all out. No doubt these 10 lepers would have heard about the fame, the report, the news that Jesus heals and is in the vicinity. In fact, they see him with their own eyes and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." They know that the name Jesus means the Lord saves. That is, he delivers. And they know that Master means he's a great teacher. He's a rabbi. And so to have mercy is to show compassion to someone. To show compassion or kindness, especially when they're in an unfortunate situation or circumstance. You have mercy upon someone. Your heart goes out to them because you see that they're in a most dreaded situation. They're unhappy, they're unfortunate, and so forth in such a situation. So they're calling out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy upon us." This same plea is echoed, and Luke records it. Recall the story of the blind man near Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, I believe it was. And Luke records one of them there, one man at the occasion in Luke 18. Luke 18 in verse 37 and following. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. This blind man was sitting outside of Jericho. He heard the crowd coming and he asked those near him, "What's all the commotion?" And they said, "Jesus is passing by." And so he cried out in verse 38 of chapter 18 of Luke, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And those near him tried to quiet him down. But he was so excited that the Master, the Lord who saves, was passing by. He knew that only if he could have Jesus to look upon him and touch him, that he would be cleansed and healed of his affliction and restored sight to his blindness. And so again, he said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." The crowd or the friends couldn't quiet him down. And so Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well or whole." Jesus saves, amen. He can deliver not only from a physical affliction, if it's God's will, but he can also deliver from spiritual condemnation to hell. And that would be the spiritual deliverance in Christ Jesus. So he answers this one leper who returned to him in verse 14. Again, back in our focal text of Luke 17. And he said, when he saw him, that is the one who had returned, he said to them, this is to the whole group here. He's saying, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So he's speaking to the whole group here in verse 14. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And so it is here that he commanded them to go show yourself to the priest. Again, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He's following the law here. He's upholding the law because the law required that these lepers, if they were healed, that they present themselves to the priest. What's its purpose? Well, Jesus answers that as well. In Luke chapter 5, he told one, in this particular case, he had healed him of leprosy. And in chapter 5, in verse 14, he told that one, "But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering." They had to make an offering to the priest for their cleansing as a testimony to them. See, there was a purpose. Not only was it required by law, but there was a purpose. And Jesus answers that. He says, as a testimony, as a witness, that you've been healed here, not only to the wider community, but to the priests, the religious leaders, if you will, of the day, that the Messiah had arrived. A testimony, a witness that Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, was near. And so it was a testimony. And here in that passage in Luke 5, Jesus touched the untouchable. Remember, by the law, no one was to touch them. But in Luke chapter 5, Jesus touched that leper and healed him and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Here in Luke 17, Jesus simply spoke. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, mind you, they hadn't been cleansed right then when Jesus spoke it. He was demanding obedience. And this would have required a large measure of faith for them to receive the word from Jesus, because he didn't touch them. He just spoke and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So they had to act in obedience. It required, again, a large measure of faith to go. And so as they went, as they were going, the Bible says, they were cleansed. See? Obedience here. Their faith acted out in obedience. Jesus blessed his spoken word, and the Bible says they were cleansed. This word cleansed here means to clean. Yes, it does. It means to purify, to cleanse. Listen closely. To cleanse from contaminants, to free from filth, to purify from everything that pollutes the body. Even this infectious disease, Jesus was speaking the word here and saying they were cleansed by just being obedient. Go show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, as they went, the Bible says that they were cleansed. And one of them, the Bible says in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. He returned and said with a loud voice, "Glorify God." They were told to go, show yourself to the priest. Well, all 10 went. They were acting in obedience. They acted out of their faith that Jesus, the Master, said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." But only one returned. And it says here, when he saw he was healed, he returned. Where were the other 9? Well, they didn't return to glorify God, one thing. But when it says that he was cleansed, they were all cleansed. what this deeper meaning is here from, again, the law as told in Leviticus here, a priest would have to go and examine him periodically. Well, here, there was no priest out there, but they were going to go show themselves to the priest, at least get close to the temple area where somebody would say, hey, come out and look at these lepers. They've been healed. So they were on their way. They had been healed to go show themselves to a priest so they could get his blessing or pronouncement of cleansing. Now, here's what the Leviticus would tell us about that in chapter 14. It said the priest would go outside the camp and inspect the lepers to make sure they were healed and no infectious disease on them. He would order two birds to be brought up if they were healed and there was evidence of the bodily health. Not only were two birds brought that were alive, they would also bring the scarlet yarn, cedar wood, and hyssop. Now, this is in the Word of God, Leviticus, opening verses, chapter 14, 3 through following. So it sounds strange, but it was God's Word. Take two birds, cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop, which is a bushy plant. And that's what the priest would dip in the blood. And so the priest was ordered the two birds. He took one bird, and over a pot of fresh water, he killed the bird, and the blood would drip down into the water. And then he was to take the other live bird along with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, and dip it into the water, into the blood, and then sprinkle it on the leper seven times, pronouncing him clean seven times. And he pronounced him clean. And then the priest would let the bird go, and the bird would fly off the live bird. That is, taking away the guilt of the sin, for the other bird died for the sin, but the one bird took the guilt away. And can you just imagine it as that bird flew away, still the blood dropping off of its wings, that one leper who had been cleansed probably ran after that bird saying, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. Glorify God, praising God, I'm clean. He had never been so clean but by the touch of the Master, the spoken word of the Master. He was clean and thus able to go back in society. So if you can just imagine this, it was said of this one that he returned to Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God. Just the one now in verse 15, with a loud voice praising God, recognizing God for who he was and what he had done. And the Word of God says that he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. This is a heart of gratitude, being grateful for who Jesus was and what he had done. To the one, Jesus Christ, for whom all glory, honor, and power are due. The one leper who turned back, not to a priest appointed by men, but the one leper turned back to a priest appointed by God, the great high priest, amen? And this one leper turned back or returned not to a priest of regulations, but he returned to the great high priest of righteousness, amen, and not of regulation. And this one leper turned back or returned not to a priest who had to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then the sins of everybody else, but this one leper returned to the great high priest who had offered for himself one time, sins forever, cleansed all of us, for the blood cleanses us from all sin. And he sat down at the right-hand side of God where he is today in heaven. Praise be to God. We have something to give thanks to God about and glorify him as well. Might the fruit of our lips be praise unto him as well. Amen. Glorify God. Praise him. Recognize him for who he is and for what he has done. And the Word of God, Luke records, and he was a Samaritan. In our Western mindset, we wouldn't fully comprehend this. But the Jews, it was like pouring salt in a wound. Out of the 10, no doubt the other 9 more than likely were Jewish. And it carefully records here, he was a Samaritan. Adding insult to injury, Jesus said in verse 17, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were they not all 10 cleansed? What happened to the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner or this stranger? In verse 18, for you see, the Jews despised the Samaritans. They themselves, the Jews, saw the Samaritans as outcasts. They had been intermingled into their society. Even from 722 B.C., when the northern part of Israel fell to the Assyrians, well, the Assyrians brought in foreigners and placed them in the land of Israel. Now you see the tension because they were intermingling with the Jewish people and marrying them. And that's why they were considered half-breeds and despised by the Jews. Jesus is saying, were not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this one leper? Is there not any of the Jewish men? Can they not return? Only this one leper who was once contaminated, now he's clean. Only this one leper who was diseased, now he's delivered. Only this one leper who was hazardous, now he's been healed. Only this one leper who was polluted, but now been purified, set free by the word of God. And Jesus said of this one in verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Or has made you whole. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, can you imagine these men outside the community, outside the camp, outside the village with a deadly infectious disease, and the Son of God arrived and passing by and spoke the word and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And they were cleansed, yet only one returned, glorified God, praising God, thanking Jesus, lying prostrate before him. How much more should we? Having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it says here that his faith made him well. It literally, that means your faith has saved you. Not only to deliver this man and the others, even though they weren't thankful and glorifying God, but it here, yes, they were healed in bodily health. It means to save from danger. Physically, yes, to deliver, most certainly. But spiritually, the same word is used to save our souls from eternal condemnation in hell. For the Son of Man in Luke 19:10 has come to seek and to save those which was lost. To seek and to save. Same word there in the original. To seek and make whole or well. To spiritually deliver from the danger of an everlasting hell, lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Jesus saves. For the God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world in John 3:17, but that the world through him might be saved. The same word there, Jesus saves. Amen. And this one leper returned, turned back to the Son of God and glorified God and thanked him. Now listen, if the blood of a bull or a goat can cleanse those outwardly of the flesh, how much more will the blood of the Son of God cleanse us and sanctify us, make us clean forever and ever? How about we give thanks to God and glorify Him? We need to walk in a spirit of thankfulness and glorify God, praising Him, for we've been set free, and we are to walk throughout the community and say, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His blood set me free. Now, folks, that's something to praise God about and give Him glory. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. Well, I'd like to transition into a time of reflection and invitation right now. If those of you who perhaps play instruments and prepare if you all do this, if you would come at this time, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God this morning and what you've heard. The Word of God has gone out. I pray and trust the Spirit of God has been at work here. And I want to ask you this morning, if Jesus were to come and part the clouds, do you know for certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are His and He is yours? Do you have that confidence? Do you know? Will you hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or will you hear Him say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? Do you know? Well, you can know. This is not a hope-so salvation. This is a know-so. These things are written and been proclaimed that we may know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that through Him we might have life and faith and have it abundantly. Eternal life. Everlasting life. For the Bible says that we've all sinned. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Oh, you can think you're good. You can think you're all right with God till you pick up the Word of God, and then we see how far we fall short. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, what He would want for us, the mark. But the beautiful promise is this. But He demonstrated His love. Who? God did. But He demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He gave Himself up for us. Delivered Himself up for us. One time, once and for all. Past, present, future sins. There's nothing else we can do. We can't add to it. Listen carefully. If you do not turn away from your sin, the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. But when you turn to Jesus and receive what the Bible says, the free gift of God, His eternal life in Christ Jesus, then the Word of God says that you'll be saved. That is, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And the promise is that you will be saved. You shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or made right with God. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So I want to ask you today, do you know Him? Has it gone from an intellectual head knowledge down to a heartfelt response? Receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. You would know, and God knows. Now's your time to respond if you've not made that commitment. Or perhaps you just want to come, kneel down at the altar and say, "Lord, help me to be thankful. Help me to walk in a spirit of thankfulness each and every day, to be grateful, to glorify You, because You bless me immeasurably beyond what I can think or imagine." You stand, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation. You stand, if you will, those of you who can. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the conviction of guilt that comes from the Holy Spirit as Your Word goes out. And Father, not only thank You that You'll convict of guilt, but You'll take it away when we confess our sins, and You'll purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not just some. So, Father, thank You that in Him we have forgiveness, redemption through His blood, which cleanses us. So, Father, today we pray, draw near to those who are drawn near to You. And, Lord, give that one or ones the will to respond to what You've done for them in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, grant us all a spirit of thankfulness and a mindset to glorify You.